Amen. Thank you, Lauren. It's through some of those difficult times that God works the most in our lives. Amen? Amen. Turn to your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 25. You should have received an outline in your bulletin this morning. If you did not, we do have an outline this morning, so raise your hand, and our ushers will get those to you here momentarily. Today, or tomorrow, I guess, is technically Veterans Day, and I want to just take a moment to honor and recognize those of you who, if you served in the military, the armed forces, and served our country, would you please stand now, and let's just give them a big thank you. Amen. Amen. I want to say on behalf of everyone here, thank you. Thank you for your service to our country. Thank you for the freedom that we have. And we praise God for each one of you. Amen. 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 This morning, we're continuing in our series on stewardship. And I want to start off... I don't know what this guy's name is. He likes to rant and rave a lot, and so I want you to, you'll probably see him again sometime, but I want you to watch this.
How you doing? You know, I'm going to open a can of worms with this one, I think, all right? This one here is the big enchilada, amigos, all right? So you're going to have to forgive me in advance if this stings a little. You're going to have to cut me a little slack if this convicts or challenges you, because I'd never want to do that. No, what I'm about to talk about, it's things people don't like to talk about. It goes up there with religion and politics. It's one of those things you don't talk about if all you want to do is make friends. No. This one here, this is a little different. Because the love of this thing, the love of it, you know what I'm saying, is the root of all kinds of evil. But on the other hand, without it, you can't do much good. All right? You crack the code yet? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah. Money. M-O-N-E-Y. Yeah, the almighty dollar, the cash, the cabbage, the greenbacks, the gravy, the loot, the moolah, whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying? I got my own personal favorite, the dead presidents. The higher number on the dollar bill, the goofier the president, the more hands want to touch it. Go figure. You know what? We ask a lot of questions about these presidential papers, don't we? Yeah, how are we going to spend it? How am I going to use it? My own personal favorite? Huh? How am I going to act like I don't have any so my relatives don't bother me anymore? Or how am I going to miss the offering plate every time it passes by? And of course, the dominant Republican question, how am I going to invest and how do I keep it from the IRS? Yeah, money, the big, big question. But there's one question we always leave out, at least I do. Whose is it? I mean, whose money is it really? That is the $1 million question, pardon the pun, right? I know some might say, hey, it's my money because I work hard with these hands. Yeah? Who gave you the hands, buddy? All right, you're smarter than some. Who gave you the brains? You're driven. Who gave you the ambition? Right, I know you can arrange a lot of things on your own, but you can't tell me you arranged your birthplace, who your parents were, who your friends are going to be, what schools you went to, the technology that was going to be there, the people that came before you to pave the way, the people who are here now to lighten the load. Huh, you didn't arrange that, did you? Should I go on? No, I don't think so. You know, I suppose all I'm trying to say is this, people. All right, I got a big wake-up call last year. I got my kid an Xbox 360. I threw it on the floor. Boom, that's yours. I got every possible imaginable accessory that there is. Everyone you can think of. The cordless, wireless, bang-bang, the flip-flop, the yip-yap. Everything you could possibly think of. Even threw in an HD plasma so everybody could see it beautifully. A couple of dozen games. I said, hey, we're off to a good start. One day I come home and I said, hey, son, you mind if I play the game? You're only sitting there over in the corner. Maybe Dad can give it a shot. You know what he says to me? No, that's mine. Wait your turn. Needless to say, I did a 180 on the 360. And now that sucker sits comfortably in my own personal home theater. And I'm the only one with the key. You know why? Because everything in that baby is mine.
Dad's going to get an amen from that.
Amen.
Amen. Friends, what is really ours? Most of the time, we act like that kid, don't we? What's really Dad's, we think is ours. The reality is, whose is it? Who does it all belong to? That's what we're going to talk about today. You know, Jesus loved to tell parables, didn't he? He loved to tell stories to help his disciples and followers understand spiritual truth. Well, here in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells us a story. He tells us a parable to teach us who everything really belongs to and why it matters, why it really matters what we do with what we have. Let's look together at our text this morning in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now remember, Jesus is telling a parable here, and in a parable, the characters represent people, right? Now listen, you've heard this many times over and stuff. Who does the master represent? Represents God, right? Represents the Lord. And who do the servants represent? That's us, okay? That represents us, his children. Let's continue on, verse 15. And to one servant he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Now, we think of this, and we hear the word talent, and we think of natural ability, right? That's the way we use the word talent in our culture today. Well, part of the reason we do that is for a misapplication of this passage. Actually, the word originally here didn't have anything to do with our own abilities. It was actually talking about what? Money. Money. Talent was a measure of weight originally, and it was kind of like saying, except in a larger form, like a pound. A pound of gold, a pound of silver. A talent of gold or a talent of silver. Actually, there were denominations of currency in the Roman currency and Greek currency as well, which were large sums of money. The talent was the largest denomination of Roman currency, actually equal to 6,000 denarii. Now, let's see how good your memory is. Anybody remember how much a denarii was? 1 day's wage. Thank you, John. So 6,000 denarii would be about how much? Quick math, Dan?
6,000 days.
6,000 days. Very good, Dan. And if you really calculate that out, roughly speaking, at least 16 or 17 years' wages, okay? 1 talent. So we're talking about a huge sum of money. So let's put this in some terms that we might understand today. Look at verse 16, then or 15, excuse me. And to one he gave $5 million. To another, 2 million, and to another, 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. So friends, what we see here is that the master is going on a journey, and he distributes, delivers his goods, entrusts his goods into the hands of his 3 servants. So the first thing we learn here in this parable and in this text this morning here is that the master has entrusted his possessions into his servants' hands. In other words, God has entrusted his stuff into our hands. Amen? The first lesson we learned, friends, is this. Everything we have belongs to God. Amen? Everything we have belongs to God. Now, sometimes we get prideful and we think that what we own is ours, right? This is mine, this is mine, this is mine, 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 mine. Let me ask you a question. How much of it can you take with you when you die? Thank you, zilch, nada, nothing. How much of it can you even guarantee that it won't flee away from you here on earth? You can't guarantee that. Listen, by fire, theft, or the stock market crash, friends, it all may be gone tomorrow. So I want to propose to you, friends, that we need to begin looking at our stuff differently. You know, I thought about bringing a big pile of my stuff and putting it up here this morning and stuff, you know. But we just need to start looking at stuff differently, right? Whether it's your house, your car, your boat, your condo, your bed, your whatever it is, friends. We need to look at everything that we have differently. Here's what I want to propose. That we not look at our stuff, that we are the owner of everything. I am not the owner of everything in my possession. Amen? Amen? But I am the manager or steward of everything that God has put in my possession. Amen? Amen. Everything I have ultimately belongs to who? God. And he has entrusted it into my care here on earth. Give you a couple of verses here. Psalm chapter 24, verse 1 says this, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell therein." Deuteronomy 10:14 says, "Indeed, heaven and the highest heaven belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it." Friends, when we understand that God owns everything and we are just his steward, that ought to change what we do with everything we have. Amen? Ought to change how we think about it, but not just how we think, change how and what we do with what we have. Well, let's continue on. Look at verse 16. So what we learned is that the master left and entrusted his goods into the hands of his stewards or servants. Verse 16, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Now after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So here we have, he went on the journey. They went out. 2 of them went out and they started trading and earning money and taking what their master had given to them and investing it in other stuff, right? The one did what? He went and hid it in the ground. As we look at verse 19, it says, after a long time, he came back. Now, even though this is a parable, friends, this is not hard for us to understand the analogy Jesus is making here, right? As we read verse 19, that ought to sound like something that you're pretty familiar with spiritually. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. What is the spiritual application to that, friends? We know that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, right? And where he is at the right hand of the Father, and it has been a long time since he has been here on the earth, but one day he's coming back, amen? And when he comes back, he is going to settle accounts with us. He is going to see what we do, what we have done with what he has entrusted to us. Friends, that leads us into the second lesson I want us to see from this parable, and that is this. We are accountable to God for what we do with what he has entrusted to us. Each and every one of us is accountable to God for what we do with what he's entrusted to us. Well, let's see what the servants did. Look at verse 20. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have at least deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Friends, I think we can determine from this text, friends, that how we handle what God has entrusted to us does matter. Amen? How we handle what God's entrusted to us does matter. God cares about what we do with his stuff. It matters whether we honor him by tithing with our first fruits. Amen? But it also matters what we do with the rest of the 90% of what he's given us. Amen? Listen, the 10% is not just God's. It's all his. Amen? Here's the deal. Every spending decision you make is a spiritual decision. Every financial decision you make is a spiritual decision. Not just what we give to the Lord. Not just that 10%. Or you know what the average is for American Christians? 2-3%. Not just that 2-3%, but everything you have, friends, every decision you make is a spending decision. Here's what Ron Blue says. You can't fake stewardship. Your checkbook reveals all that you really believe about stewardship. A life story could be written from a checkbook. It reflects your goals, your priorities, your convictions, your relationship, even the use of your time. A person who has been a Christian for even a short while can fake prayer, can fake Bible study, can fake evangelism, can even fake going to church and so on, but he can't fake what his checkbook reveals. I think that's pretty telling, amen? Friends, that's why so many of us are secretive about our personal finances, because we don't like to admit what it reveals about where our heart really is. Friends, here's what we need to understand. We are accountable to God for everything he has entrusted to us. How you handle money is a test. Did you hear me? How you handle money is a test. You know, we can give God 10%. We can even give God above 10%. We can even give God and give to other things, kingdom things. But if we then go out and spend out of the rest on alcohol or the boat or, ooh, pastor, or magazines that we shouldn't be buying or books that we shouldn't be buying or on selfish things or on anything that doesn't honor God, then let me ask you a question. Do you think that's being a good steward? I didn't hear you on that one. Do you think that's being a good steward? I heard your heads, but I did not hear your voices. It's not. It's not. And that's, we got to change our whole thinking, amen? We got to change our whole thinking. Well, I can't believe God wants 10%. Whatever. Listen, God owns it all. You better be awfully glad that he's blessed you with what he's blessed you with, amen? That he takes care of you all the time, friends, because we're entering into a day where maybe we've never seen this before in America, but we're going to need that more than ever, amen? Maybe one of the reasons we act like that in America is because we're too dadgum spoiled. Let me give you a good definition of being a good steward. Based on his knowledge of the master, a good steward invests his master's wealth in ways that please the master when he returns. Based on his knowledge of the master, a good steward invests his master's wealth in ways that please the master when he returns. So friends, the question I have for you is, how are you investing what God has entrusted to you? You see, here's the deal. People say, well, money's just evil. No, money's not evil. Money and possessions are a tool. They're a tool. They can be used for good or they can be used for bad. Amen? Can be used for good or for bad. They can be used for ourselves and our kingdom, or they can be used for God and for his kingdom. Amen? Friends, God is looking for those who are faithful in using what he's entrusted to them for his kingdom. I want to share with you a kingdom principle. This is a kingdom principle that can be applied in many different ways, but Jesus applies it here today in this context. And it's in verse 21, and here it is. This is not on your outline, so this is, I want you to write this down, okay? And you know it, but maybe you don't think about it enough. Faithful in little, faithful in much. Not faithful in little, not faithful in much, okay? So, friends, that goes a lot of ways. I want you to look at verse 21. Look at what the master said. To the first servant, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Look at what he said to the second one down, verse 23. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Friends, faithful in little, faithful in? Faithful in little, faithful in? Not faithful in little, not faithful in much. It's a principle of Scripture, friends, and it's a principle and a reality of life. Listen, you wonder why God hasn't entrusted more to you? Let me ask you a question. Have you been faithful with what he's already given to you? Have you been faithful? You say, well, Pastor, I can amen the little part. Well, listen, we probably can. Amen? But have we been faithful with what he's entrusted to us? You say, you know, here's what some people say. Some people say, well, Pastor, I'll give more when I have more. Right? You heard that one before? Or, Pastor, I'll start tithing when I make enough, when I can tithe. Well, let me ask you a question, and here's the bottom line is, no, you won't. Because here's what the Bible says. If you're not faithful in little, don't fool yourself into thinking you're going to be faithful in much. God wants to see you be faithful where you are right now. Let me ask you, which do you think is easier, to write a check for $50 or to write a check for $500 or $5,000? The 50 bucks is a lot easier, right? So why do you think you're going to be able to write a check for $500 more when that's your tithe instead of the $50 that it may be right now? It's not going to be any easier later on, okay? So listen, we need to be faithful with what God's given us right where we are, amen? Friends, there's another principle that's going on here, and that is this. Our faithfulness on earth determines our future responsibility in God's kingdom. Amen? Our faithfulness here on earth determines our future responsibility in God's kingdom, in the millennium and in heaven. You say, well, Pastor, I thought that when we went to heaven, we were just all going to sit around on clouds and play harps all the time. Well, you better learn how to play the harp. Amen? Anybody learning? No? Well, the reality is, friends, that Scripture talks about that there's going to be responsibility. And that's one of the applications of this thing. Because Jesus says, the Master says, and Jesus in essence is saying this, you're faithful over a few things. Listen, if we want to really talk about it, the talents, five talents, $5 million, would you consider that a few things? Not earthly speaking, right? But he's talking about, if you're faithful over a few things here on earth, then I will put you over many things in heaven. Turn in your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 10. You there?
Yep.
Not quite. All right. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Now listen to what Paul says here. It's very important. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, he wants to get things straight here, amen? Because a lot of times, and many people confuse serving the Lord and what working out our salvation with fear and trembling with working for the Lord, in other words, to earn our salvation. He's laying the foundation here. The foundation is Jesus Christ, amen? That's how we have a relationship with God, is through what Christ did for us on the cross. We come into a relationship with him. That's the foundation. But then after that, look at verse 11. For no foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now verse 12 says, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. Now, there's a difference in those things, right? Look at what he says in verse 13. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. What day do you think he's talking about? Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of which sort it is. So what does he mean? He means, in essence, think of it like this. Like we have gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, and you cast it into the fire. Some of our works are going to be eternal, like gold, silver, and precious stones, and the fire will not burn them up. Some of them are going to be like wood, hay, and straw, and what's going to happen to them? It's going to burn up, okay? In other words, they're worthless. Each one's work will be tested by fire for what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So friends, what we see is that the way we invest God's resources here on earth, God's going to test that, right? And see if what we're investing his resources in, if what we're spending his money on and investing our time in and all those things, friends, if those things are going to last and worthwhile, are they eternally worthwhile? Or are those things just for here on earth? Are they things that are going to burn up one day and they're not going to last for all eternity? Friends, what are you investing the resources God has entrusted to you in? Because here's the deal. We've said it before. We are accountable to God for what we do with what he's entrusted to us. Amen? I want you to say it with me. I am accountable. I am accountable. I am accountable to God. I am accountable to God for what I do with what he's given me. Amen? You say, Pastor, that's pretty overwhelming. I understand that. So I want to share with you point number three. Here's what we need to understand. Friends, God will never give us more than we can handle. God will never give us more than we can handle. Amen? I want you to look back at verse 15 in Matthew chapter 25. Let me ask you a question. Why did the master give each servant a different amount? Why was it based on who he liked best? Oh, you're my favorite, so I'm going to give you 5 talents. And, well, I don't like you so much. So that's not it at all. What does it say? Look at verse 15. To one he gave 5, to another 2, to another 1, to each. How did he determine that? According to their own ability. To each according to their own ability. Now, friends, here's the deal. We may not like that. We may be jealous. We may be envious. We may wish we had more money, more stuff. We may wish we had more responsibility. But, friends, in the end, we need to trust that God knows what he's doing. Amen? Friends, and that's a good thing. God knows how much we can handle. Amen? He knows what we can handle. And if we are faithful in little, then what? We'll be faithful in much. If we're faithful in little, we'll be faithful in, and maybe, just maybe, God will entrust you with more. But first, what do we need to do? We need to be faithful in what he's already entrusted to us. Amen? And friends, and that requires a whole attitude change. It's the attitude change from that of an owner, I own everything that I have, to the fact that we understand that I'm just a steward of what God has entrusted to me. You see, friends, if we want more entrusted to us, then we need to show that we can be faithful with what we have and not be wanting more just for the sake of wanting more, right? Some people say, well, I just want more. I want more and more. I can handle it. I can handle it. I can handle it. Then, but you haven't been faithful in what he's already entrusted you to. Amen? Friends, because if we want more, then guess what? If we want more and more just for the sake of wanting more, it may be that our attitude's not right. Amen? We have a selfish attitude. It may show that we really don't understand something vitally, vitally, vitally important. And that is this. With stewardship comes great responsibility. With stewardship comes great responsibility. Friends, we just talked about it. Friends, we are accountable to God. Whatever God entrusts to us, we will give an account to him of that. And friends, that doesn't just have to do with our possessions and our finances and our money, but it also has to do with the other things he's given us that we're responsible for. Amen? Guys, how have you led your home? How have you led your wife, your spouse, your kids? Maybe God's placed you in an area of leadership here in the church. Maybe God's placed you in an area of leadership in your business. How have you handled what you have been entrusted with? Friends, you are responsible for that, and you are going to answer to God for that. Amen? So understanding that, friends, our last 2 points kind of flow out of that. 2 things I want to encourage you with this morning. Number 4, stewardship requires action. Stewardship requires action. Let me ask you a question. Why did the master get upset with the last servant? I just want you to think about that for a minute. Why did he get so upset with the last servant? Look at verse 24. Let's see why. Verse 24. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look. There you have what is yours. But his Lord answered, you would think for the master just kind of shake his head, right? It's not what he does. Look at what he says. He says, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So because of that, because you knew that about me, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own. He's saying, listen, you knew I was like that. The least you should have done was to put my money with the bankers so I would at least earn some interest with that money. But what did he do instead? What was the problem? The problem was the third man was full of excuses. He was all talk and no action. I want you to notice something here. I thought this was very interesting. One commentator pointed out that the third servant talked more than twice as much as either one of the first servants. He said 43 words to 16 words each by the first two servants. Listen, if you'll just simply get out and serve the Lord, you won't need to explain and make excuses for yourself. Amen? But if we're just making excuses after excuses, what does God think of that? Not very highly, amen? Not very highly. Friends, God wants his people to do something with what he's given to them. That's what he's saying here to the third servant. Listen, you didn't do nothing. You did nothing with what I entrusted to you. At least do something. At least put it in the bank and earn interest with that. Friends, I believe Jesus is saying to us with this, listen, he wants us to at least do something with what he's given to us. Amen? Do something with it. Even if you just put it in the bank and earn interest and give God the interest. Amen? Listen, put it to some sort of use for his kingdom. Friends, he wants us to be faithful in our giving, and he wants us to be faithful with the rest as well. Do something. Say it with me. Do something. Do something with what he's entrusted to us. Amen? Listen, you may be here today, and you may agree with everything that I've said. You may say, yes, Pastor, I see that in Scripture. I understand, Pastor, I have not been doing what God's called me. I've not been a good steward. I've not been faithful. I have been the lazy servant, Pastor. But many of you will leave here today and you will fail to do anything. You'll leave here today and you'll feel convicted for maybe till about 3 o'clock this afternoon. And then your television will take away that feeling and you'll never think about it again, and you will never do anything about it until the next time you hear a sermon about giving, next week, by the way, and you will then feel guilty again for a little while, and then, friends, why? Because you have no plan. You have no plan. I want to ask you a question. Sometimes I think we as Christians misunderstand what God expects out of us. We say, well, we just need to trust God, and it'll just all flow naturally. I want to ask you a question. Do you think that the first two servants would have doubled their money, would have doubled the master's money if they had no plan? Look at the return. That's 100% return. You're not getting that kind of return unless you have some kind of a plan. Some kind of a plan to invest that in what the master wants it invested in. So friends, I say we need to come up with a plan. Amen? We need to come up with a plan. We're going to talk more about that next week, but I want to give you a couple things this morning. Friends, I love one of you put me onto a message. Andy Stanley, in his recent messages, said this: I would rather have a pathetic plan than no plan. So listen, even if it's a pathetic plan, put it into place. Amen? Let me give you two things this morning to start with. And friends, this is not rocket science. Amen? This is not rocket science. Number one, start by tithing. Wow, I think I've heard that before somewhere. I think I have too. Amen? Start by tithing. I believe that is a beginning point for a good steward. That's a beginning point. Let me share with you something just from my heart. Listen, we're going to keep paying the bills around here. We're not hurting for any of that and stuff. But guess what? Can you imagine what we could do here at Southside to reach this community for Christ if every member, if every person who attended tithed? I'd love to see the math. I bet it'd double our budget. At least double our budget if everybody tithed. I want to make another comment this morning, and I don't say this in a prideful way, and here's the deal. I'm not asking you to do anything that I have not committed to do myself, okay? My giving record, I will state right now, is an open book before you. If you want to see, Pastor, are you really doing what you ask us to do? Absolutely. You can go to any member of our receiving clerk team, Steve Walker, Kevin Elliott. Go to either one of them. Say, I want to see Pastor's giving record. I give you permission to do that. I don't say that from a prideful standpoint, friends. But, friends, we need to start. A base level for being a good steward is that we are tithing. Amen? You say, but Pastor said, listen, we're not under law anymore. We're under grace. And so, Pastor, that tithing thing's in the Old Testament, and that's all Old Testament stuff and Old Testament law. Friends, listen, here's kind of the bottom line of that. We could go round and round about that and stuff. I believe, yes, you're right, the Old Testament talks about tithing, but nowhere in the New Testament did Jesus ever lower the standard. In fact, when he talks about the Old Testament law, he doesn't say, I've not come to do away with the law, I've come to fulfill the law. Amen? And not only fulfill the law, friends, Jesus came and he raised the standard. He says, you've heard that it was said, do not commit murder. But I say to you, if you have hatred in your heart, you've committed murder. So Jesus doesn't lower the standard. He always ups the standard, right? You say, well, Pastor, I understand that, but I believe in grace giving. Well, praise God. Does your pocketbook demonstrate that? Because you see, here's what grace giving really is. You say, I believe in grace giving. I believe giving out of the gratefulness of my heart for what Christ has done for me. Well, praise God for that. I'm all for that. Amen? But what you're telling me then is that grace giving in the New Testament is supposed to be less than the basic minimum in the Old Testament under the law. That's how, do we really want to base your how grateful you are for what Christ has done for you by what you're giving? And maybe some of you, yes. But is that really where it is? Friends, we can put all the arguments into place. But if we are ever arguing to try to keep something from God that we think that the Holy Spirit is telling us that we need to do for God, then we're in the wrong. Amen? So the basic number one of our plan is we need to start by tithing. We're going to come back to that in just a second. But with the rest, here's what I want to challenge you to do. Start thinking like God's investment manager. Many of you probably have an investment manager for your retirement. Or maybe you put it into a 401k and you don't know who that is, but somebody is investing the money that you put into your mutual fund somewhere. Whether you know about it or not, they are making decisions for your good based on what's going to make the most profit. Well, friends, let's think like that with our stuff. Amen? What can I do with the rest of my stuff that's going to make the most eternal profit for the Lord? Amen? How can I honor God with what He has given me? Amen? So, just today, we're going to talk more about a plan next week, but number one, start with what? Tithing. Start with tithing, right? Start with tithing, and then second, let's think like God's investment managers. Amen? You say, Pastor, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can live off of 90%. Pastor, you don't understand the bills that I have. You don't understand all that. How can I make ends meet? How can I make it work? Well, friends, that leads us right into the final lesson we learned here this morning, and that is this. Stewardship involves risk. Stewardship involves risk. Friends, it means getting outside of our comfort zone. It means trusting that God will stretch the other 90% to meet our needs. Amen? And listen, I want to tell you something. I want to promise you, listen, it may be one of the hardest things you ever do to start tithing, friends. But why is it we pray to God, God, please help me meet my bills this month. Please help me do this, friends. But we are not honoring God at all with our finances. But we're expecting Him to bless us. And friends, do you see how hypocritical that is? Here's the deal. We pray and we say, God, help me to get more leads. And I know many of you are in sales and things like that. God, and I understand how your income is dependent upon those things. God, help me with this. God, help me with this. Help my business prosper. Help me all this. But friends, if we're not honoring God with that, guess what? Do you think God's going to honor those prayers? You can answer that. Look at verse 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Friends, I already mentioned this, but the first 2 servants doubled their master's money, a 100% return. And here's the deal. In order to make that kind of return, they had to take some risk. Amen? They had to take some risk. They couldn't just bury the money like the third man. They had to invest the money somehow to get that kind of return. Here's what we need to understand, friends. Tithing is a risk. What? Did you really say that, Pastor? It's a risk? Absolutely, it's a risk. Giving generally is a risk. Investing in God's kingdom is a risk. Can I really afford to do this? Will I really be able to survive on the rest? Will God really take care of me? Will God really do something eternal with it? Friends, it takes faith. Amen? Stewardship involves risk. It takes faith. It takes believing what God said and doing it, basing our life accordingly. That's what faith is. Some people say, well, faith is just blind. Faith is abstract. No, faith is reading what God says and putting it into action. That's faith. I think I said this last week, but James talks about faith. Says, you say you have faith, and I will show you my faith by my works. Amen? Our faith needs to have feet on it, friends. In other words, we need to say, I'm going to trust that God will help me make ends meet. I'm going to trust that God will provide the increase. I'm going to trust that God's way is best. I'm going to trust that God will help me be a faithful steward. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when I don't know how, I'm going to trust that my reward will be greater in heaven than anything I could purchase here on earth. Amen? So I am going to act by faith, and I am going to invest into his kingdom. Look at verse 28. Look at what Jesus says about the unprofitable servant. Verse 28, he says, therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. You say, what? Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has... Pastor, that's ludicrous. What is this, some Robin Hood type thing or something? Listen, here's the deal. Look at verse 29. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Now, that can be a very puzzling verse. Amen? Here's the deal. For everyone who has, more will be given. In other words, friends, those who have been a good steward have proven that they are being a good steward. And God has already said, the master already said, if you are faithful over little things, what? I will make you faithful over much. If you are not, then what does that prove? If we're not faithful, if we are, let me put it in biblical terms for you, more biblical terms. If we are not fruitful, what does the word say about us? If we're not fruitful, we're not his. If we're not fruitful, we are not plugged in to the vine. Verse 29, 20, 30 says this, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that seems pretty extreme for that parable, right? Well, I believe Jesus switches here from the lesson in the parable to the lesson that he's wanting to teach us. Amen? And here's the deal, friends. Profitability, fruitfulness, is the proof of true stewardship. If we are a steward of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are going to do something with what he's entrusted to us. We're going to at least, as he told the third servant, put it in the bank and get interest, right? We're going to at least do something with what he's given to us. The question is, friends, what are we doing with what he has put into our care? Are we investing it in our own kingdom? Or are we investing it in his kingdom and for all eternity? Dr. George W. Truett, longtime pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, was visiting in the home of a very wealthy oil man one time. And the man had invited Dr. Truett over for dinner, and they had had a very nice dinner. And after, as dinner was ending up, the wealthy oil man began to talk to Dr. Truett and said, Dr. Truett, you know, I came to this country over 25 years ago, and I didn't have a dime to my name. He said, I want to take you up to my rooftop and I want to show you something. So he took Dr. Truett up to the rooftop of his house. And he said, Dr. Truett, he said, I came to this country over 25 years ago penniless. And I worked hard, and I put my hand to the grindstone, and I began to work and earn and save. And you see everything out in that direction. See all those oil fields out in that direction, Dr. Truett? He said, I see them. He said, I came to this country 25 years ago penniless. Now everything you see, all those oil fields you see in that direction, they're all mine. They all belong to me. He said, Dr. Truett, you see all the cattle out in this direction? You see all the livestock out in this direction? I came to this country over 25 years ago penniless. And all the cattle, everything you see, as far as you can see in that direction, I own it all. He said, you see the grain out this way? You see all the fields of grain out this way as far as I owe, Dr. Truett? As far as you can see, said everything out that way. I came to this country penniless, Dr. Truett. He said, but now everything as far as you can see in that direction, I own. He said, you see all the trees and the forest out this way? As far as you could see forest. He said, see, as far as you can see that way, he said, I came to this country 25 years ago without a dime to my name. And everything you can see now that way, I own. He said, I came to this country without anything. And I worked hard. And everything you see in that direction, and that direction, and that direction, and that direction, it's all mine. It all belongs to me. I own it all. He expected a big pat on the back from Dr. Truett. Instead, Dr. Truett just put his hand on his shoulder and he said, I understand that, but how much do you own in that direction? The man said, I never thought of it that way. And friends, that's my question to you this morning. How much do you own in that direction? I hope God's blessed you. I don't believe in poverty theology, okay? I also don't believe in prosperity theology. I believe in stewardship theology, that everything that God's put into our trust, we are to use for His glory. First of all, are you being faithful to honor Him with the tithe? Maybe you're here this morning and you need to say, Pastor, you're right. I used to do that, or I know I've always needed to do that, and I just need to... I need to be faithful with that. Friends, I've said this before. The most dangerous place to be is to be in a church and think we're something and we really aren't. Here's the question. I just want to ask you, do you love the Lord Jesus? This is first service. I'm preaching to the choir, okay? Do you love the Lord Jesus? Are you grateful for what He's done for you? Then let's just be faithful with what God's asked us to do, right? You know? Your church doesn't need your money, okay? I want you to be blessed spiritually and otherwise, friends, because of you are being faithful to the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I need to change my attitude. Well, let's not say I need to, let's just do it. Amen? Would you now, would you say, Lord, I realize that I have been... And maybe your attitude needs to change from, I realize that I'm not the owner of everything that's in my possession, but I'm just a steward. And Lord, I want to begin looking at everything that I have. How am I using it? How am I investing it for your kingdom? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to ask you that question, friends. How many of you today, just right there in your seat, would say, Lord, I need to change my attitude. I need to change the way I look at it. And today you would say, today I'm changing my attitude from thinking that I'm the owner of everything to the understanding that I'm the steward of everything that God's entrusted to me. If you would just say, Lord, I want to change my attitude this morning, would you raise your hand? Just all heads, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe for some here this morning, it is simply a matter of putting a plan into action. And you've got the best intentions in the world. You've been this morning, amen, amen, I agree, Pastor, I agree. But then when the money, you start out at the beginning of the month and You start out with everything else, and at the end of the month, whatever's left over, you out of that, you give to the Lord. Friends, God calls for us to give him the first fruits for a reason, not the leftovers, but the first fruits. Today, you want to say, Pastor, I want to change the way I do things, and I want to begin to give God the first fruits. Would you make that commitment before the Lord this morning, just before him, with your heads bowed and eyes closed? Just raise your hand up this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Friends, I believe we many times just need to ask God and turn from our disobedience. Ask him to forgive us of that. And begin becoming obedient Christians. Would you do it today? Just simply surrender to being a steward of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to invite you to do that. Maybe there's something else going on in your life that you haven't given your whole life over to the Lord. Our altar is going to be open, friends. Whatever you need to do business with God about, would you come and do business with him? Would you change your heart? Would you change your mind? Would you change your attitude today? Just give it over to him. Lord Jesus, Lord, we are so spoiled in this country and we are very self-centered. We like to think when we purchase something, it's ours. If it's in my bank account, it's mine. Lord, help us to just change our attitudes, Lord, that it's not ours. It all belongs to you. And Lord, help us to begin to see it like that. And to begin to make decisions as your investment managers. Investing for your kingdom and not ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.